Good morning, boys and girls, moms and dads, and children of all ages. Welcome to Radio Fishing one more time. We got Robert and Area Fishing Report, and I don't know what else is going on today, but it's early, dark 30, and we're going to try and get you caught up on what's going around on the area. So anyway, good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Frank.
Okay. So,
it's a holiday weekend that we forgot about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a holiday this weekend, isn't there?
Yeah.
Amateur
weekend. It'd be a good day to hang out at the boat ramps and watch.
Oh, I used to really like that because, you know, I dock at the house, so I would drop customers off and be sitting there. I get done about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I'd be sitting at the ramp waiting for my next charter to show up and just watch the chaos.
I mean,
nothing funnier than a bayliner in a minivan with six old guys in it.
Yes. I think Placida's got to be by far the best boat ramp to go and watch all that.
Oh, yeah, because it's steep enough and slick enough where big boats, little vehicles, and they slide right into the water.
They turn, they pop off the ramp, and axles go into the rocks.
It's fun. It's fun to watch.
Grab a lounge chair and your cooler and sit back and just watch.
Oh, the best one ever was I was doing a job for U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and I had to go to Cape Coral and put in, and I was swapping some signage out for them. And here you go. We got this little minivan pulling like a 27-foot sailboat.
Oh, jeez.
And the minivan's back down with the trailer trying to put the sailboat on the trailer. And, oh, my God, everything's going on. I mean, there's two or three guys, and they're all, you know, in their 60s or 70s, and they're trying to get this thing on. Well, we squeezed in next to them, offloaded the barge, went out, did the job, come back, and they're just getting it up onto the trailer, and they're just getting ready to pull it up. Took about an hour and a half took me to do the job.
I was going to say, that barge wasn't quick, so I know you had to take some time.
So they're still there. We get back, and we go over to get in the truck, and all of a sudden, here comes this. Comes out. The minivan's doing a pretty good job. I mean, one of those old Chrysler caravan jobs, and I mean, it had a little trailer hitch on it. You know, the trailer hitch was bowing a little bit down, but it was still holding. They got it around, they parked it, and we backed down and put the barge back on our trailer, and we get up, we're pulling up, and I'm getting all my stuff hooked up. And these guys are going around, and while we were doing that, they're coiling all the ropes up on the deck, and they're making everything nice and pretty, and I mean, everything was ship shape. And I said, Dad, watch this. He's like, what? I said, look. And all of a sudden, there goes the sailboat, you know, on the trailer behind the minivan, and they take off. And they never put down the mast.
It was
30 foot of mast. The first power lines they hit, all your Dad and I were sitting there watching it, just sparks flying, electricity everywhere. I mean, it was hilarious.
Wow.
I mean, I think they knocked out the power to like 8 city blocks or something like that.
Holy crap.
Because, I mean, everything, it was just getting twilight. Everything goes dark over the side of the street lights. It just started coming on. Oh, my God.
That's terrifying.
I mean, to pull out a boat ramp and to take, I mean, literally 20 minutes to coil all the ropes up on the deck and fuss with the straps in the boat and then just take off with the mast up. I love it.
Oh, man, that's terrifying. That would have been fun to watch.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them, but
anyway, let's start out down by Ponarasa. Oh, I didn't feel bad at all for it. This was, like, hilarious, except we were stuck there, 45 minutes till the fire department and the power truck showed up. Because, I mean, there was wire sparking all over the ground and stuff.
Oh, I can imagine.
It was too dangerous to leave. We just hung out, waited for everything.
Turn out the vehicle, sit back and watch.
It took me 15 minutes longer than that just to quit laughing, so.
All right, well, Ponarasa, that's a good place to start. Let's see, the docks obviously still are holding a pile of snook, and snook season does open this weekend now, so it's something to get really excited about.
Was that exciting enough?
That was pretty good.
Okay, that was as good as I could do
right now.
That was as good as I was going to get.
All those docks on the mainland side and on the island side, on the backside of the intercoastal, basically, and the beaches are just stacked with snook right now. And that holds true along the entire coast. That's going to be, personally, if I were going to go target snook this weekend for my best bet for a legal size snook, I'm going to either walk the beaches or, you know, if I have the opportunity to go out in the boat, I'm going to fish the intercoastal and fish all the docks and some of the oddball shorelines and mangrove cuts. But there are also those docks down there are holding some really big oversized redfish. I even had a couple reports of some gags down there underneath some of those docks this week. Wow. A guy that caught three of them. His biggest one was 31 inches.
Wow.
Which really, really surprised me.
So we're not talking about just fun time gags.
Yeah.
We're talking about real legal keeper eater size gags.
Exactly.
Wow.
They hooked several more in Redfish Pass that were right at that 22 inch mark. And they caught them all on, they were drifting bucktails in the pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ones under the docks, they caught them as incidental catches with pinfish and whitebait while they were trying to fish for snook.
Wow.
That's like the best gag report I've had in probably a couple weeks.
Yeah, in general. And it's weird. They should be way out in the Gulf by now.
Yeah.
Another strange year. Yeah. I don't know. If anybody's listening up north, email me if you see one of the paper, those wasp nests, the paper-made ones, you mm-hmm. know, the big kind of cone-shaped one, and you hit it, and, you know, 1,000 hornets come out to sting you. But want to know how high off the ground they are. If you
yeah.
if you're walking in the woods and they're up in the trees, not in like bushes, if they're not like chest head high, if they're 10, 12, 15 feet off the ground, we'd like to know, because it's one of the best indicators to figure out how bad this winter is going to be.
Right.
If it's going to be a mild winter, they're going to be 3 to 6 feet off the ground. If it's a heavy, it's going to be a real bad winter, they're going to be up, what, 10, 12 feet off the ground.
At least, yeah.
So it's a great indicator to let us know how bad this winter is going to be, and should I order hoodie sweatshirts to sell? You know,
yes.
Give me an idea. Should I buy that kind of stuff to sell this year? I missed it last year, but if we can find out where the wasp nests are, we can find out if I should order some of this stuff. So
absolutely.
Let me know, okay? And maybe I should get in some ice fishing tackle.
Hopefully not for
Hopefully
us.
Not, but you know, we'll never
not
know.
For us.
If they're up 20, 25 feet, you know, I'll order ice fishing tackle because we're going to get cold.
We need to go south.
We're going to Ponderosa. Let's go just walk the beaches. What's going on walking the beaches?
Walking the beaches right now, there's still quite a few snook out there. Depending on the pass that you're at, some of the water's a little darker because of the rain, even though it hasn't rained in a week. That's allowed it to clear up a little bit, but this wind that we've had has actually made it kind of milky along with a little bit of the tannic water. So the visibility's hit or miss depending on the tide or where the pass that you're at. But the snook are still cruising out there real well. Early morning, like right now at first, just before first light, there's been some big bull reds cruising along, and at night. They've also been having a few pompano and a couple oddball incidental flounder. And that's
flounder, actually, yeah. I would go better than oddball incidental on the flounder. I've gotten a bunch of pictures of flounders lately,
yeah.
So I'm going to say the flounder's actually numbering up, getting ready, because our peak season's November.
Well, and same way with pompano, too. You know, pompano, I mean, this whole week I've had mixed reports of pompano and flounder. The problem is that both of them are, yes, there's plenty of them out there, but they're so scattered. You'll hit one little nut and catch a couple, three or four, or maybe even a couple dozen on the pompano part of it. But you're going to cover a lot of area to catch several flounder.
Okay.
But they are bigger quality.
Right.
You know,
nice
that's
fish
the
right
cool
now.
Part about when they first show up, especially the flounder, it seems like, even though our flounder fishery is weird, always that first batch of flounder that seems to show up are always good quality size, like 20 to 24 inch fish.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. I don't understand it, but still pretty neat.
Yeah.
There's still quite a bit of whiting out there. There has been a few oddball reports of some Spanish mackerel. Getting some reports of some blue runners and some small jacks coming through the passes, too. A woman in here yesterday, they were up at the Venice Jetties, her and her partner, and they caught like 35 blue runners. She said it was just one right after the other, just having a ball. She was just thrilled to death. It was pretty cool. I love even though it's in weird, you know, it's in nondescript fish for most of us because we're spoiled. But when you get people that are new to the area learning how to fish and seeing their excitement over catching these little blue runners, I mean, and we take them for granted because they are a really good little scrapper for what they are. Yeah.
I mean, they're the size of a bluegill and they pull like a 4-pound bass.
Yeah. So. But she was just super excited about it, and it was pretty cool. What else going on?
Going out to the out in the Gulf. I haven't heard much golf reports, but it's been working on boats and
right.
going to casinos and goofing off. That's why you haven't seen much radio or heard much radio fishing. Is I've been taking some time off, and
that's a good
actually
thing,
really though. Enjoying some stuff.
You need to do that.
Yeah, we put together the Dead Bait Band and
the Dead Bait Band.
Yeah,
really? Seriously? Nice.
I just came up with that. I thought. Well, we're all, you know, I'm one of the youngest ones in the band, so you know, it's like I couldn't go for a live bait band.
Nice.
You know, so
that's funny.
But Shark Monster. But we've been having a heck of a time. Two guys haven't really played much for 30 years, and we've just been having a hell of a time.
That's good stuff. I like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we're up real late, like midnight plague, and it's I'm like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
You're coming in with leg cramps from playing the drums, and that's funny.
Yeah, so been having a heck of a time.
Good stuff.
Yeah, one of these days we'll do some recording, and you guys can hear the Dead Bait Band. So
I like it. That's funny.
Anyway, getting back to out in the Gulf, I haven't been hearing much
it's
now.
It's been a little slow this week because it's been so blooming windy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this wind has really kind of put a damper on the offshore guys, but last weekend quite a few people did go out. They didn't venture very far because it was still pretty windy over the weekend, but the mangrove snapper and the lane bite is obviously the dominating factor this whole summer, and it's still holding strong.
And you can do that, what, within 2-3 miles of shore?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You don't have to go far for those. They're right along the coast.
7 miles has been a really good spot because we've got that little 7-mile ledge right out there. And that's about that weird spot when you got this wind that's blowing out of the east predominantly. That's right. Usually about when it starts to really start to get
lumpy.
Soupy.
Yeah. So the cool thing is, though, when we're talking ledges, guys, we're not talking about a 15-foot drop or a 30-foot drop. What we're actually talking about is a 1 to 2 foot high ledge. If you find a big one, it's 3 or 4 feet.
Right.
And the average is 1 to 2 foot drop. And when you're going along with your depth finder, watch your bottom machine, and you're going along, and it's 28, 28, 28, and all of a sudden 30, you just passed the ledge.
Right.
And it's tricky. It's not easy. If they were 10 feet deep, the ledges, it would be very simple to fish.
It would be real easy to figure out and find them, too.
With right out here in the Gulf, our ledges are 1 to 2 foot drops, and you really got to be on your game. You really got to know what you're doing, and it takes a lot of practice, and you need some marker jugs.
And the same thing with the hard bottom, too. You know, learning your bottom machine and figuring out the difference between sandy bottom and hard bottom. It may not necessarily be a ledge, but if you can see on your depth finder with the hard bottom, people don't, you know, all
when we talk about hard bottom, the difference is it's picture a miniature like New Mexico or Grand Canyon type landscape. It's a lot of little tiny upshootings with like cracks and caves all around it. Yeah. And there's like little mini canyons,
little potholes,
and so
looks like a parking lot out front.
Yeah. You know, just drops and holes and stuff. And it registers sort of flat on your depth finder because you've got this hard, like, mesa that comes up, like a little mini tower, say, 5 feet across. And but on each side of it, it drops down 5 feet. But the other one's only 6 inches to a foot away from it. So it literally registers as a flat bottom. But in reality, it's all these little canyons, mini canyons and stuff, foot wide, 2 foot wide. But it still registers as flat. But it's very...
like Swiss cheese bottom.
Yeah, but it actually stands up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It'll stand up sometimes.
When we talk about Swiss cheese bottom, you think of holes underneath, and it's more like growth that came up, like coral that came up, but it registers sort of flat because they're all about the same height.
Right.
But it's just all the cracks in between them that the fish hold into.
Yeah, I mean, even a shopping cart is a condominium out there because, I mean, it is a desert oasis, so every little piece of structure out there is mass structure for anything.
It's once you get out 26 miles, it's actually legal to drop a shopping cart.
Is it really?
Yeah. When you can get out 26 miles, I forget that. I'll look up exactly how many miles out you have to be before it's not against the law to drop something. Because there's so many miles for this type of debris, and at no point can you put plastic out there.
Right.
But if you're out so many miles, you can drop metal. Okay. And now it's so many miles, it's different stuff. But the Coast Guard has all these regulations. Now, technically, you're not allowed to do anything. But according to the letter of the law, you know, it's like cruise ships that throw garbage overboard.
Right.
The out so far, they can do that.
Okay.
So, you know.
Yeah, I've been on boats out there, like head boats and stuff. They can throw paper products out.
Yeah, a certain distance, yeah.
Yeah. And what's no wax-coated, but regular paper boxes and stuff.
What's fun to do is if you have a newspaper, once you get out, I'll get you the legal limits on distance, but you take a newspaper with you, a bunch of newspapers, and you start laying them out like a weed line.
Yeah.
You know, you drop your anchor, you're all good, and you're sitting there, and then you start laying out your own weed line. And then once you get the weed line out good, then you can just troll by it. It takes only about a half an hour to an hour for it to just get thousands of minnows and everything else up underneath it, just like a natural weed line.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't think the newspaper hurts anything.
Well, 99% of it, except for like the glossy paper and stuff, all the regular ink nowadays on almost every newspaper is soybean based.
Yeah,
so it's not.
I really don't think it hurts anything.
Not
the political eco nut. You know, point of view, but
right.
In reality, it's not really hurting anything.
No, not at all.
No. Let's okay.
Amberjack did close.
Yeah.
In federal waters, but the chance of you catching a legal one in state waters are
state
pretty
waters
slim,
only goes so out 9 miles.
Good luck proving that one.
Go to fishandfranks.com, go to fishing rules, and check the federal page. Because the federal page, if you're fishing out deep in the Gulf, is the one you have to pay attention to. And that's on fishandfranks.com, and you're going to see a bunch of different FWCs and all that other stuff. But click on the federal one, and it does show you the closures. So anyway, getting back to what we were doing out in the Gulf. Let's come in, coming down Lemon Bay. I've heard a lot of snook and stump pass, a few sharks.
Yeah, still a few sharks around. There's been some bigger ones, but the majority of them.
But the Venice, you did touch on Venice. So
yeah, well, let's hit the passes then.
Okay.
Let's hit the passes in general. Venice jetties, still a lot of mangrove snapper up there. You know, if you're fishing from shore, they can be a little tricky. You're going to go through a lot of gear.
He was out there, and he was wade fishing, walking around out by the jetties, hogfish.
Yeah.
He said he couldn't get them to hit, but he said they were just huge hogfish there.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Even to be able to see that, let alone, you know, try to catch one.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be just cool to see one swimming around.
I mean, I'm all up for that hogfish thing. That's if you can get them to eat, that's phenomenal eating. Plus, it just what a trip to look at those fish.
Oh, that mouth, the way it articulates and opens up so wide, and it's amazing that they'll take a little tiny, the only way to really catch them usually is on a little tiny piece of shrimp.
Yeah.
You know, they're worse than a sheep's head, I think, when it comes to the way they feed, but yet their mouth will open up 4 or 5 inches on a good legal size.
You would think that you would want this big bait for them because of the size of the mouth, but oh my God, they're just crazy looking fish, those hogfish are, and unbelievably nice meat on them too.
Yeah, it's the whitest meat I have ever seen on a fish personally.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. Sandbrim would be close though too.
Pretty close.
But anyway, coming down along the passes, getting down to Stump Pass,
still
Lemon Bay.
Yeah, still the redfish are starting to school up a little bit just inside the passes, especially there in Lemon Bay. I've heard of 3 different schools down there. Nobody's going to give them up, obviously, but just got to kind of look and put your time into it.
But they're not hanging out in the place either. They're going to feed in this spot. They're going to move down a ways. But the best thing to do is when you're in Lemon Bay, really keep your eyes open for that big push of water. Because
absolutely.
The water will lift and move when that school moves.
Yeah, they're big enough fish and big enough numbers where they'll...
You'll see the rise in the water. And it just kind of looks like... not like a school of thread fins where it looks like rain in the water.
Looks more like a big school of mullet.
Yeah, big push of mullet, but it's really cool. So anyway, coming down Little Gasparilla Pass?
Into Little Gasparilla Pass, all those docks on the backside of Little Gasparilla Island are holding a lot of snook, some redfish, some nice mangrove snapper. As you move into the pass itself, there's a lot of snook on the edges of it with some bigger bull reds as incidental catches. Mangrove snapper are still in that one little rock pile that's kind of in the center.
Amazing how bucktails are coming back into fashion right now.
Yes, it is. It's pretty surprising.
I mean, our bucktail sales aren't up that much because I think everybody's got 50 of them in their box.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, you know, if you look in your tackle box, you're going to find some old bucktails laying there. But just remember, keep lifting your rod and bring your rod tip down. Don't jerk it, twitch it to the side like you would a twitch bait. Make sure you get a good lift to it. That bucktail, as it hits the top of the arc on the lift, is going to puff and then get small again as it drops to the bottom. And the best thing to do is actually let it hit the bottom where it kicks up a little sand and that bucktail opens back up again. And then as you lift the rod, it's going to close the bucktail and make it dart to the top again. And that's really kind of key for getting them snook to go crazy on it, and the redfish, the snook, just simple little bucktails. And I'll lay you odds, you know, whoever you are out there listening, you've got bucktails in your tackle box.
Well, and
we all do.
Yeah, and you and I talked about it earlier this summer with the snook fishing out on the beach with them. You know, we were talking about some of the best lures out there, and the bucktails and those little banana jigs were just creaming the snook out there earlier.
Yeah, so, and it's still going on. Still hearing, getting emails about catching everything on bucktails.
And the great part about a bucktail is not only is it versatile like that, but you can add a trailer to it. You can add a curl tail grub to it to give it a little bit larger profile,
put a little strip of action. Of squid on it. You can put a little strip of, because it's single hook, you can put squid on it.
Right.
Fish bites would be
fish
a great
bites
one.
Is a good one.
A little Berkeley tail on the back of it, mm-hmm. the gulp to give it a little smell.
Yeah.
But a tiny one.
The Procure holds on to it real good because
I don't like using Procure on my bucktails. I know it works good. I know it catches fish.
Just the options.
You can't get it off.
Well, I'm just saying the options of it. You know, it holds scent scent that you love, that game fish spray.
Yeah. But see, game fish will come off.
Absolutely.
And the only reason I don't want to use the Procure is it's too good.
Yeah.
It doesn't leave the darn bucktail. It gets caught up in the tail and
looks like dreadlocks.
Yeah, you can't get it out. I mean, it's fine in the water. It looks good, but you put it in the box, it stinks.
Yeah.
So anyway, I agree with Robert. The Procure works great. It, in my opinion, works too good for a bucktail. I use it on a hard bait, but I don't use it on
hard
bucktails.
Bait, it's devastating.
But anyway, coming back down to Boca Grande Pass.
Well, let's hit the Placida Trestles. It's been a weird bite because obviously it is still too.
See how he's
long.
Taking over the show? He's just pushing me aside. He wants to take over the show.
Just trying to keep it in order,
okay.
sir.
Okay.
You take over the show. It's your show. I just want to keep it in line. It's just keeping it in order, sir.
Keep it in order. I'm going to control you, Frank. You cannot be out of control.
That's not
going
to work. The trestle during the day has been a little sporadic. One day has been really good, the next day is mediocre. They're still catching some small sharks, some mangrove snapper, a few whiting, oddball trout. But the early mornings right at daylight and in through the nighttime has definitely by far been the best. Bigger mangrove snapper. Like
I think your phrase just summed up everything out there, whether it's in the Gulf, in the harbor, anything. One day is great, the next day is real mediocre to lousy.
Right.
And it's not a real consistent fishery right yet.
Right.
But getting there. I mean, getting better. But, I mean, that was, I think, the key phrase of this week is if you get out there in the day when everything's eating, you got the trip of a lifetime.
Right.
And hours later, you know, an hour later, a day later, whatever, and there's nothing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, boom, it all happens again. But when you said that, I went, man, that's exactly what's going on out here right now.
Yeah. You know, the nighttime there off the trestle has been some really nice snook, bigger mangrove snapper, a few big bull reds, you know, and I'm talking true bull reds, like 35 inches, you know, and better. You know, a 30-inch redfish to me personally isn't a bull red, you know.
No.
We were talking about it the other day in here. It's like, how did people come up? And obviously, fish are getting smaller because of decline or whatever the theories are. But it's amazing to me how so much has changed in a very short period of time. Like in the last 5 years, a 24-inch trout is now called a gator trout. A 1.5-pound yellowtail snapper is called a flag. A 30-plus-inch or 30 to 33-inch redfish is now a bull red. You know, how did
I
that
can go with 33 maybe, because but I usually think of bull reds over 35, 36 inches.
Right, and me too.
But 33 is kind of that border, because I'll tell you what, the one thing I've noticed about redfish in the last few years is they're not as streamlined as they were.
Yeah,
they're
chunkier.
Rounder, chunkier, fatter. They kind of went like the normal. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going.
You
like
started
the typical American. I was like, you know, I'm like 175 now,
right.
And everybody says I'm really skinny. I'm still 10 pounds overweight for my height.
Right.
But
told you it's used to Americans, though, so
compared to the normal person, I'm much thinner than average. Right. And because, I mean, I was 210 for years, and right. Now being at 175, you know, feel like a skinny old fart, you know, but at least I'm not a fat old fart anymore.
Exactly.
But anyway, but that's what I've noticed about the redfish, is that they're chunkier nowadays. I don't know if they got Game Boys. Is there such a thing as, you know,
Fish Boy?
Yeah, you know, they got Fish Boys. Okay, they go out there and, you know, they're sitting in front of their computers all day now.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's one of those weird things, though. It's just puzzled me with people with getting so excited about, and I get it, because you don't catch as many large fish as you used to, but to consider it a gator or a bull or a flag, it's like, come on.
Yeah,
you know, those fish are still there. You just got to work at it harder. You know, the fish have gotten smarter, so we've got to get smarter.
Well, that's one of the problems with those big old fish. You know, you've got to get the one that has that, you know, moments of duh in order to catch him.
Exactly.
You know,
they don't get big being stupid.
So, anyway.
Moving down through the intercoastal, heading towards Boca Grande, Widden Creek, Catfish Creek, not too
Catfish
much.
Catfish Creek, unbelievable redfish.
Right at the mouth.
Yeah, I mean, right on that flat just outside of Catfish Creek. And I wouldn't go up in it, but if fish those islands right around it.
Yeah, that
oh
whole...
Oh, my God.
That whole area from there down to Sandfly. There's a couple, few schools there.
Oh, no.
The one school's been there for a while, but now
the unfortunate part is it is a whitebait thing.
Yeah.
And if you've got whitebait, you are going to just cream them. You're going to have the trip you've always dreamed of. And it's happening right out in front of Catfish Creek right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just huge, really nice, from slot fish to much bigger redfish, and you're gonna have the day of your life. But
absolutely.
The problem is, you got to find some white bait to do it. This is not going to work on pinfish. It's not going to work on shrimp.
No.
And that will change as the weather changes.
Yeah.
But for right now,
over the next couple
of
weeks, they'll switch over a little bit more.
Yeah, well, we've already had a cool front come through.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
the
beautiful the last
so
two
cool.
mornings.
Oh, it's wonderful out there in the morning. I get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and go sit on the porch, and it is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, the wind that makes it uncomfortable during the day is a breeze at that point, and it's just sitting there on the porch and, you know, having my nicotine and caffeine, and wow, what a treat.
Well, it was funny. Tuesday morning I was talking about it, or Tuesday afternoon, I think, when I talked to the wife at lunch. I'm like, it was beautiful this morning. I mean, it was like fall. I mean, it was like an actual fall morning. She's like, what'd you do? Help Frank with his Facebook thing or something? Because I guess you had wrote something about it was a beautiful fall morning.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, we both had the exact same thing, you know, but we're up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, you walk outside and you're expecting the heat and the humidity and all that, and you just get this gorgeous weather, and it's just, you know, I think there's nothing like, you know, when you go through the summer, getting those first cool mornings.
Makes you really appreciate some of that changes.
Because
we don't get the drastic year-round changes. We don't get that spring, summer, fall, winter.
You know, our fall can happen any time over the next 6 months.
Right, exactly. You know, we've got summer, and we've got cold to us. You know, it's winter.
We've got summer, spring. We get spring, summer, and fall.
Right.
And every few years, we get a little taste of winter.
Right. You know, so it's kind of nice to actually have something where you just wake up and, like, hey, you know, that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I was really enjoying it. So, anyway, we won't bore you guys anymore. Okay, we're going to move down. We're at Captiva. Oh, no, we're still on Gasparilla Sound.
Yep, the backside of Boca Grande, moving down from the Three Sisters out to the Boca Grande Channel. There's redfish over there. Those fish are scattered, but there's like deuces to like 25 fish. Not the major schools like there is over on the Whidden Bay and Catfish Bay or Catfish Creek area.
Yes, me sorry. Me Fagawi tribe. I just cannot figure out wherever I am.
It's all good.
Sorry. Kimosabi. Me lost.
Really? The snook are cruising along that entire flat going basically from the golf course all the way down to the phosphate dock. Those are some really, really impressive fish. I mean, there's some big, big fish cruising along there.
So, yeah, it's really cool. I used to fish that a lot during charters, and, you know, it's kind of like one of those, you know, Hail Mary passes. You know, yeah. You worked your way around, and you hit over there, that canal by the golf course, and that area's out in front of there. And you can usually pull the day up, you know, get that day back on track and ensure that you're getting paid that day.
Right.
You know, because I hated, because I never had the heart to charge, you know. I was always like, okay, give you half price this time, half price in your next trip, you know.
Right.
Where it works out where they got a free trip. And because when I wasn't catching fish, it was just horrible.
Yeah,
I always felt
some
so
days
guilty.
Where it's horrible. It's hard.
But I was very lucky. I had a lot of good trips. So anyway, nice. Coming back down, getting around the devilfish, we got a little bit of whitebait there.
A little bit of whitebait. A lot of pinfish. Pinfish are finally getting to that nice chunky size where you're going to start to notice a big change with the feeding pattern. Like you were just talking about a little bit ago, whitebait's the real key thing.
Yeah, like the Eisenhower dollar size.
Yeah, the pinfish are just starting to get to that premium size. And what a lot of people forget, reasons why these fish go through these slight changes of feed, we're going into wintertime. A lot of the whitebait's going to thin out a little bit, but even if it's still here in good numbers.
Hopefully that's going to take 2 or 3 months. Hey, Greg, you going to join us?
You made it back. But what'll happen is they'll start to concentrate
you
on
into this one.
They'll start to really work on the pinfish because they got to build back their fat reserves after all summer long they've been spawning and eating high energy bait.
The white bait and stuff is real high in oil, and they need that for their reproductive system, and they go through that whole white bait phase. But then as it gets colder, then they switch to pinfish and shrimp.
I'm going to start eating white bait.
Right.
Yeah. You can use the energy.
Well, let's jump back to offshore.
I was at the Keys one time, and I was working for a company out of Germany, and I was flying back and forth to Europe all the time. And Ralph's brother-in-law, guy married his sister, he was Italian. He's from Italy. And he could not believe we were wasting this. He was reaching in the live well, grabbing the white bait, and eating it out of the live well. Because that's an Italian delicacy, you know. But I mean,
I knew there was something wrong with those people.
He starts his, you know, morning you have, their wine is like our
orange juice glass.
Yeah, but nice. It's more similar. Their wine is more similar in alcohol to, like, say, a Seagram's, an 80 proof.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like thick. You pour it out, you cut it off as it goes in a glass.
Kind of like German beer.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, you went out with Captain Dwayne French yesterday.
Oh yes, we did.
Okay, and Captain Dwayne French has got this gorgeous
42-foot Hatteras. It's probably 50 feet long by the time you figure everything on in the dive platform and the bow and everything.
He's bringing out as a charter boat. He's going to be doing those far offshores. He's got staterooms. He's got TV. And
it's a great, great boat. I mean, and yesterday was kind of a shakedown cruise. And the first couple hours was interesting because it's been up on the hill getting wrapped and everything. It's been sitting there for 6 months. So the filters had algae grown in them and everything.
So you're changing
else.
Filters.
We were changing and filters and blowing through lines. And we were wallowing around out there because it was actually probably 4 to 6 footers when we went out.
Which, when Dwayne's boat is running, it's no big deal.
Well, and it really wasn't that big of a deal. Not running well, it just, we were wallowing a bit, you know. There were 6 of us on the boat, including Captain Dwayne. One of our members did not fare well.
Who was that?
Jesse from Charlotte custom upholstery.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He spent the first half of the day chumming for us.
Well, that was nice of him.
Yeah,
you know?
It was very nice of him, you know. I said, oh, geez. I said, I'm glad that. It's him.
Yeah. I'm glad it's him and not me.
I'm glad I didn't go because I'm glad I didn't ride along with
but
him.
But we were all trying
to. I got that ear infection right now.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, man, that would have been miserable.
Yeah. Well, we were all trying to be sympathetic. Of course, none of us could be sympathetic because none of us have been down that road.
You know, was you like, sympathetic? There's no way to put Greg in sympathy in the same thing.
Between shit and syphilis in the dictionary.
G rating.
I forgot.
That's all right.
But once we got that straightened out, I mean, the boat ran great. I mean, we looked like an old diesel truck going down the road at first because we had some black smoke rolling out the back end of it and everything, and it was like, okay, you know. But once we got that done and it would jump up on plane, it ran great. I mean, we were cruising at 14 to 16 knots, you know, which is pretty good for that big tub, you know.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I mean,
holy
big
crap,
boat.
You know. But we were probably out a little over 30 miles by the time we hit our last hole, but man, in close, we were tearing up small red grouper. I mean, a bunch. You know? The very first hole we were at, everybody gets out there, we drop my prototype star plasma rod
right.
with the conflict on it, is now on the bottom of the gulf.
How did that happen?
Well, it was sitting in a rod holder. Dwayne hooks up a fish. His line hooks the eye on the rod, pulls it up out of the holder, bink, straight in the bottom.
Oh, man.
Right.
Well, that one hurt.
No,
that
like, hurt.
Oh, that's $400.
Oh, yeah, all day long.
That's $400 go right down to the bottom.
Yep. And, well, we almost lost one of his star Paraflex rods with the International on it because we were wallowing so bad. And the rod hanger he's got up in the fly bridge,
right?
It was sliding back and forth in there, and it slid enough. It came out, hit the deck that we're and started going off the back. And there's canvas over the back, which at that angle would have just kept right on going off the back. And his brother Brian managed to get his foot on it and not break any eyes off, which was the amazing part. And caught that, and we got that back in. So that one wasn't so painful. But we actually brought in a pile of fish, and we got on some big red grouper. We were probably, I'm going to guess we were at 28 miles or so.
28 miles, a bunch of big red grouper?
Yeah.
And, yeah. Well, that's one thing about D. I mean, the boat might start out a little iffy, but he has the capacity to make everything go good.
Yeah,
you know,
it worked well.
Then getting out there, there's very little doubt in my mind, if Captain Dwayne wants to go out and catch red grouper, he will catch red grouper.
Well, Warren and him are working together, running that boat, and I asked Warren if he was running away from home because he had a backpack sitting up there on the fly bridge, and he says, those are my numbers. I'm like, what? He's got a backpack that just, and he says, that's just part of him. He says, that's for just right here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, geez, you know, so they got plenty of numbers to go fish, you know?
Yeah.
And we probably hit, I'd say we hit eight different numbers, you know?
What I like about Dwayne as a captain is that, you know, you're going to fish it long enough to see if there's anything there, and if there's not, we're on to the next spot. We are going to catch fish. And that's the best thing about Captain Dwayne is you are going to catch fish.
Yeah. But I was fishing that jig head with the curlicued tail rubber on it. I was the only one dropping artificials, you know. Dwayne goes, you gonna catch fish on that? And I said, I have been. Yeah. Beep. I dropped that in at that first spot we were at. I had three fish hooked up before anybody else even had a nibble. It was like, he says, damn, he says, that thing really works, doesn't it? And I said, yeah. He says, who told you about that? And I said, I believe it was Morris.
Yeah, we used to fish those a lot years ago.
Those big curl tail grubs.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
During the 80s and the early 90s.
You taught me about that years ago. And
yeah, it was a standard. That's what you took with you when you went grouper fishing because it just worked.
Yeah.
But Anyway, we got to get back to
my first middle report. Grounds experience, actually, probably whatever. When I first started working here, you told me to take this along, and I did real well.
I heard about your middle ground experience yesterday from Warren.
Which one?
Well, the one that you were chumming all day long.
Yeah, but I had a rod in my hand the entire time. There was 25 other people in the cabin.
Well, maybe it was Scott. It was Scott telling me about that.
There was 25 other people in the cabin, and I was still going at it. I've only been one time in the fetal position where I couldn't fish.
That was in Costa Rica.
Yes. And that was with Dwayne, too.
Yeah.
But those were like 10 to 12s with the occasional 14. That was not fun.
No.
10 to 12s with 14s is tough. And those boats were only, what, 25, 26?
They had those 30-foot strikers.
Oh, that's right.
So yeah, that's what we were on for that. But still, that's still a bathtub out there. I mean, are you kidding me?
Right.
It's that like, was not fun.
So, anyway, work back down. We were doing Boca, so let's... Boca Grand Pass?
Yeah. Yeah, we touched on that.
Let's go down to Captiva.
The intercoastal going down towards Captiva. There's still a bunch of, but there's still some incidental tarpon right there from Boca down to Captiva Pass if you're staying in the main channel. Along the edge of the main channel, there's a couple of really big schools of redfish there. There's one school around Patricio, and then there's another school just south of Yusepa. Underneath the docks there at Yusepa, there's been some really nice snook and a few bigger redfish. All the little islands from the fish shacks down there in from Captiva Pass, all those islands back there got a lot of really nice redfish scattered on them, some good snook. Pompano started to pop up really good all over the place, so guys are getting some incidental catches of pompano. So keep an eye out when you're moving from one spot to another. Look for them skipping in your wake. You know, even going up towards Jug Creek, you know, right around Jug Creek, they're still getting a lot of white bait and pinfish, but that's been bringing in the pompano, the little sharks, some redfish, some snook, kind of scattered all over around those sandbars and the flats out there. If you move up just a little bit more around the island there, going down towards Matt Lachey, that whole channel area going from the backside of Boquilla down towards Matt Lachey.
Down through the Indian fields in there.
Yeah, down through the Indian fields, they're getting some scattered redfish. There's a couple schools down there, but they've been really very, very spotty down towards there. Once you get down towards Matt Lachey at night, the snook and the redfish are still scattered all over the place. There has been some tarpon there at night. Not a lot of them, but definitely enough where it's worth having your tackle ready for them. As you're working up to Two Pines and heading towards Burnt Store, a lot of redfish scattered out on those flats. There's one school that always shows up there just south of Burnt Store, has been there for about a week now, but they've been very hit or miss. They're there today and not there for a couple days, and they pop back in again. But I think that school's working that entire bar all the way up to Pirate Harbor, because I'm hearing of a school up at Pirate Harbor that's there for a day.
From Pirate Harbor going all the way down to Matt Lachey. Yeah, their ice house. You got the ice house at Pirate Harbor, and then you got the ice house north of Matt Lachey, south of Two Pines.
Right.
And they seem to ping-pong that whole distance, and that's several miles.
That wouldn't surprise me, because I'm hearing of them there today, and then not hearing about them. Then the next day, I'm hearing of another gentleman that was down there catching them. So that would make sense.
Yeah, they're going all the way down to the second ice house, then. That's the one. It's when you go from Two Pines, it's about a mile south.
And those fish there have been doing actually really pretty good. A couple guys have been getting there at first light and hitting a few on top waters, like your favorite spook.
Yep.
They're also getting them on some cut ladyfish, some pinfish, and whitebait. They're kind of eating a little bit of a smorgasbord, unlike the ones that are in the intercoastal. These are mixing it up a little bit. Whitebait's obviously working the best, but they are kind of picking up some on the other stuff. A lot of pompano, though, there between Two Pines and Burnt Store. Those guys that are looking for those redfish are jumping a lot of pompano in their wakes. so keep a good eye out for those. And then just on the outside of the bar there, basically between Burnt Store and Boquilla, there's still some tarpon there. There's been a good scattered amount of little sharks and even a few bigger ones, a couple lemons, a couple bulls, an oddball hammer.
And if you were going to draw a line from Burnt Store to Cape Hayes, you're going to run into Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, probably some pompano. There's a whole herd of different schooling fish out there. There's just a bunch of them.
And Spanish mackerel, the tarpon are mixed crazy. In with them, too. The Spanish mackerel,
that,
the tarpon.
That hard gravel bottom.
Yeah. Loogie's Lair.
Right.
Yeah. I love that name.
That still boggles my mind. That's still one of the coolest things ever.
Anyway, you've got that whole thing there. But coming up the east side, going up to from Pard Harbor up to Alligator Creek.
That area's been really sketchy. It's been...
lots of sail cats.
Yeah, plenty of sail cats. But the redfish and snook are scattered all along there, but you are going to work for them. It's not... you're going to literally pick one, two maybe,
but if you go
one.
From Alligator Creek going up around Whorehouse over to Ponce, there's some nice bunches of redfish over there. They're not big schools.
No.
But like you say, if you go along the shoreline, you're going to catch a redfish, and you go a little ways, catch another redfish, go a little ways, catch another snook, catch another redfish.
You got to get that incoming
tide up
in
there. It's always like that right
there,
and it's like Robert's saying, you're going to work for them. You know? You're not going to go out there, sit down, throw a bait in the water.
No,
and
you're
going to
move.
Away, you know?
You're going to catch one here, you're going to go a little ways, catch another one, go a little ways, catch another one. But that's a keeping moving area up through there from the skating rink all the way around up to Ponce.
You got to pretend you're in a bass tournament. You know, you're working the shoreline and you're meticulously picking it apart and constantly on the move.
Yep.
Beat the bushes.
If you're sitting still, you're going to be just getting a sunburn.
Now, if going out across, we got to do Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
Mm-hmm. Not too much inside Bull Bay and Turtle Bay. Been a few snook up in there, mainly at the entrances, you know, is where your primary gathering of the fish are at.
Well, I'm going to add from the entrance and then way back in the back, because it seems like that middle is doing okay, but right near the mouth and way back in the back, there's fish in both those, but I think there's enough mangroves overhang in the back of Bull Bay, Turtle Bay to hold the fish in the shade,
right.
And it's in that in-between areas, I think everybody fishes, they kind of come in, they're not really doing well along the mouths because they go past it, and then they're trying to fish that whole middle section, and with the pressure, the fish have moved back or out.
Right.
And I think that's why you have that split in the middle, is because everybody's fishing, you know, they come inside
spots.
And they want to be in the bay, but they're not going all the way back behind the islands and getting back into the backcountry.
That would make sense. I mean, plus it's pretty hot once you get back in there, so I mean the guys just don't want to dehydrate out there.
Bay, it's so shallow up in the top of Turtle, you know, and I mean, you know, I hit that a lot, and I don't do it much this time of year up in there because it is so shallow and the water is so hot when you get all the way back up in on the right up there.
Yeah, now, if I was going up into Turtle Bay, I'd be going all the way back in, but I'd be fishing at left side. You got a little bit of a trough underneath the mangroves there, a lot of overhang. Those branches come out 8-10 feet from the shoreline.
Yeah, if you run up that left side up past the fish shack, there's a nice trough that runs there along the bar.
That's
the
one I'm talking about, yeah.
And it's actually off the bushes there where I catch them, you know, because there's a trough that's probably 10 to 20 feet off of it, right above the shack. But then I'll go up and I go, if I'm
all the way back up by the creek.
Yeah, I'll go around to the left, like you're going to run across to the top edge of it there and go up that back way to Whidden or drop into the top of Bull Bay.
Yeah.
Now that I wouldn't be afraid to fish because there's a lot of deep water right up in there. But to go all the way up on the right, I probably wouldn't waste my time up in there.
So
all the way up.
And anyway, coming around the middle of the harbor, we got a ton of mackerel out there. The Cape Hayes Reef has still got some snapper on it. Coming around to Cape Hayes.
Right there on the Cape Hayes bar on the Boca Grande side. Pompano are starting to show up there. Still some oddball mangrove snapper. A lot of little sharks.
Coming on the east side of the bar?
East side of the bar, it's been real wishy-washy. There's been some pompano there. A few small sharks. There's been an oddball trout.
So if you're going up the west side, heading up the west side, outside the bar?
On the outside of the bar, there's a couple of some scattered redfish along there. There's a lot of tarpon scattered out there in that 4 to 6 feet of water.
And a lot by the towers is about where I'd look for the tarpon. From the towers to that one weird thing they put up over there, that marker thing,
that
sensory thing.
Yeah. Along the bushes there from the tower south is where your better redfish and snook have been. Once you get north of there, it's a lot fewer fish. You're going to work.
It's a lot of fresh water, a lot of hot water on that top end, because that's where the Peace and the Maka both dump out, and that water's hot coming out of there. Yeah.
And you've said that before, you know, that's a great place to fish on the changing of the tides, you know, because of that moving water and the higher salinity and the little bit
cooler
water.
You get that outgoing tide right there, and you get that big flush of water, even though it's warm and hot. It's still a good movement of water, and the fish will go in there because everything's getting stirred up.
Right, exactly.
So I'll hit that about a third of the way through the outgoing tide. I like to fish that top end of the west side just because you get the great water movement. It's sucking the Maka and the Peace right to there, and it gets just everything gets all stirred up, and the fish go in and feed like crazy. Then it's too hot, so they get out.
Exactly.
Hit the scum line.
Yeah. All throughout the whole center of the harbor, since we're already over kind of in that area, the entire center of the harbor, all the holes right now have got tarpon in them. A lot of catfish. On the southern part down towards Pirate Harbor in the middle hole, there's a lot of little sharks and some bigger sharks. As you move up closer towards the Maka, they start to thin out a little bit, but there has been one day to the next with us variety of tarpon from right at the mouth of the Maka going all the way up to El Jobin itself. That was a report from yesterday. So, you know, it's been plenty of fish out in the center holes. But if you want to get away from some of the other people, it's worth taking a look up into the Maka for some of those other tarpon. El Jobin itself holding some really nice mangrove snapper again, some trout. Not a lot, but a few bigger trout, especially at night.
I just turned on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
Monster trout. That thing, not monster. We'll go with yours, but definitely gator. I'm saying 28-inch, 26-inch trout.
That's a good fish. That's a really big fish.
And John Henderson got that. He says he only got one red and one trout, but that red, that's right on the borderline of the top side. I mean, John Henderson's got one there, and it's got to be 26 7/8. And that redfish, or the trout's only slightly smaller.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Going over towards Tippecanoe, there has been some redfish over there and a lot of scattered little sharks. Going up into the Maka cutoff, it's still so darn hot up in there and miserable. There's a couple really, really big snook in there, but It's tough fishing. It's real tough fishing. But on the Hog Island side out there on that grass flat, looking for some redfish, some small sharks, a few incidental pompano showing up. I mean, it seems like the pompano just popped this week with scattered fish everywhere, so keep an eye out for them. Working a little bit over along that shoreline heading towards the beach complex, there's some redfish out there. And those redfish are bigger redfish, and they're in schools of like 10 to 20, but they're staying out there in like that 3 feet of water range. They're staying a good 50 yards away from the shoreline. The guys are catching them just by accident out there, screwing around, drifting, or fishing for whatever. Going over towards the beach complex and all the Port Charlotte canals. The Port Charlotte canals.
The Port Charlotte canals?
Yeah.
Are we talking about the Port Charlotte canals?
That just threw me for a loop with that little hiccup.
Like, what was that?
At the mouths of the canals, you're getting some. They've been getting some better sand bream and some good mangrove snapper. A few snook up inside there. Lots and lots of juvenile tarpon scattered throughout there, whether it's Spring Lake, East Spring Lake, West Spring Lake. Even up inside the main canals of Port Charlotte, they're getting a few varieties of, you know, sizes of tarpon, but most of them are on the smaller side.
Lots of snook.
Okay, what's your give me a good lure for the tarpon right now?
Personally, if I was going to throw a lure for the tarpon, no matter where I'm at, I'm going to go for a DOA bait buster first for my first go-to, because it's consistent. That or a storm swim bait, you know, in that 3.5 to 4.5 inch range somewhere. I like that size. It's a consistent bait. If I want to mess around and experiment, you know, Rattle Trap's a good one. The Rapala X-Walk thing, that top water has been working real good. Yeah, hopefully I'll be hearing that in about an hour.
He was getting messed up. I just figured I'd really screw his concentration.
Right.
He's in the port canal, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know that water that runs behind his house?
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, where were you?
I don't know. I'm lost now.
Okay, Peace River.
Temporarily disoriented.
U.S. 41.
The 41 bridge in the early mornings, especially when it's still dark, been holding some big redfish, a lot of snook, and a whole lot of juvenile tarpon. Throughout the nighttime, there's been some bigger tarpon at the bridge itself.
Good job, Robert. You picked it right up. Nice. Good job. Okay.
During the daytime, it's still been hit or miss. They've been getting a few mangroves, so a couple oddball redfish, but it's been a little bit tough fishing in the middle of the day, and it's just because it's so darn warm, I would have to say. If it were me, I'd be fishing it while it's dark. I mean, I'd be going at night or first thing in the morning, you know, 4 to 7 o'clock in the morning. Main time.
Go ahead, Robert. Just keep going.
How's that nutcracker working? The PGI canal.
The nutcracker sweet.
The PGI canals. That's a killer.
We have the little soldier guy over there on the counter next to him. Insert them here.
At the mouths of the canals, there's a lot of snook.
Just be glad my memory's bad. I'd be humming the theme to that. I can't remember it either.
The snook, some nice mangrove snapper, still some big redfish. Even getting some reports of some really big redfish up inside the PGI canals. They probably ate all the Spanish because I haven't heard anything about them up in there, but the big redfish are crushing them.
That's nice.
What are they crushing?
They ate all the Spanish mackerel.
I thought we were talking about ball busting yet.
No.
He's talking about the big redfish just eating all that Spanish mackerel. Kale's not here to argue with you. So, you know, if Kale was here, he could argue with you. There's Spanish mackerel in them there canals.
Been some mango snappers still really good in there. At Ponce, it's been hit or miss. At Ponce, there's still been some mangrove snapper, but most of them are smaller. A few bigger black drum, a few redfish.
Ponce has come back on. It's really doing a lot better.
I'd been hearing a lot of people talking about black drum up in the outer edges of PGI.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's just been one of the craziest, deadest summers of Ponce, you know, and it's just finally started to get a little bit better in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've had several people taking kids down there and having nice days with the kids again, and it's kind of coming back to the Ponce we knew before.
Absolutely.
But up on the river, I know we got gar.
Gar, catfish, gar. Catfish, alligator hunters.
We'll throw in a little bit of tarpon and just say, okay. And then you got I-75, which is black drum.
Yeah, there's been some black drum there.
Yeah, I was kind of bust on it. But
couple of bigger snook there.
You get over on the north end, the flat side, you got a little mix of redfish and snook over there.
Exactly.
It's actually not bad.
Yeah.
But I don't know about any schools of reds up there where they should be. I mean, no,
there's been a few up there, but not.
The one place there should be reds right now, there hasn't been anything since they ran that pipe across the river.
Yeah, what I don't get is they had the opportunity to actually clean that out and do some good with it, and they just messed it up. I mean,
I don't know what they did.
I go along with what I've said before, and that is I do not know how the government invented this machine, but somewhere 100 or 200 years ago, they got an electromagnetic device that they put next to the door, and it sucks your brain 2 feet lower than what it was before.
There you go.
You know, I don't know how it works, but it really does work. As soon as they go into government office, you know.
Yeah,
as soon as you walk into that government office, your brain gets lowered. I have no idea why. So, anyway, I think that's about all that's left.
I think that is.
Any advice, Greg, for people going out fishing?
Take lots to drink and stay hydrated, and take your sunblock if you're white, but I think pretty much if I was fishing right now inshore, I'd be heading further down the harbor, get down there around the Cape Hayes Point. I wouldn't be afraid to hit Muddy Bay right now. I'd slide in there, probably some snook. You're not going to catch a lot of redfish in there, but with snook opening up on Monday, I'd be heading that direction.
There you go. Robert, your best bet, any advice for people?
If you're going out, I mean, personally, if you want to do the tarpon thing, which I'm going to go out and do today.
Come over here. We need your advice. Come on, Barb.
I'm going to go out today and do the tarpon thing, but the redfish are starting to school up really good out there, so keep an eye out for them. But snook season opening on Monday. If it were me, if I'm fishing from shore, I'm hitting Placida or I'm hitting the beaches. Yeah. And I'm going to go out at night. I'm going to go, I'm going to cover up with bug spray, and I'm going to go out there and
hit that nighttime snook and really have a good time.
You're going fishing today?
Yes.
You're going to
everybody else stay home.
Yeah.
It'll be raining.
It'll be blowing and raining.
Blowing and raining.
Robert's going on the water today, so we have a advisory, a caution to mariners.
It would be a Robert advisory.
Yeah, because Robert and Robert are going to be in the same boat. Right. When you get R&R, this is not rest and relaxation. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but Barb, yeah. We're looking for fishing advice.
Up with something for that.
So what's your best advice? Somebody going to go out and go fishing today?
I would give you advice if I'd been fishing lately.
But your husband's a charter boat captain.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. We don't talk about it.
The public fish counter.
Yeah. I don't even go to the public fish counter.
But now, you did go fishing up in the river a while back, caught a nice snook.
Oh, yeah, that's right off the bridge. We went over underneath the bridge on 17, and I caught a nice size snook. Just one.
One was enough, though. It was a nice
one
fish.
One was enough, yes.
It was beautiful
fish. It was fun.
Throwing that power bait, right?
Yep, the white power bait.
So if you were going to go back, now snook season opens Monday, and we're going to try and get a couple shows before then, but how are you working that? What happened to get that snook?
I think it was just luck.
Sometimes that's the best way.
It actually, when I cast it, I casted horrible. It went, touched the bridge, fell down. I just started reeling because I wanted to cast again, and I hooked him. So it was pure luck by mistake.
Well, see, accidentally on purpose, you got that jig to fall right next to the pilings, picked it up, and made it dart away quick. And that's actually a really good technique for it.
Even if I try to remember that. Yeah.
Replicate that on your next trip. It might be in six months from now, but try to replicate it.
You know, in 100 years, she'll never hit that bridge again.
Now, I am going fishing tomorrow night. We're going to be doing the tournament.
Oh, yeah, you're doing the Rocking and Reeling tournament.
Team Luigi's.
There you go. Yep.
I'm also doing it. I'll be there weighing your fish when you come in.
He's the MC, the host, and the weighmaster.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad then.
I can't wait. And I actually have Captain Carl going along to help.
Oh, great.
Oh, boy.
We will be messing with Team Luigi's very hard when they show up.
You guys better be right on your game.
And we're going to probably be really tired. We're going to stay out all night.
So, yeah, this is that overnight tournament, isn't it?
Yep.
So you guys got the captain's meeting Friday, and then you guys leave from the captain's meeting and go fishing.
Yep,
and
all night long. And then I think weigh-in is like...
Starts at 1.
1.
Yeah. Now, starts at 1. I think I found my cot. You want me to give you my cot for you to boat?
I might need that.
I mean, honestly. I really do have a cot. It's one of, you know, like those fold-up canvas chairs with the metal frame?
Yeah.
Except it's a full-size cot. Ooh. I bought it a few years ago. It's in at the house. I know where it is.
I'd like to borrow that, please.
Yes.
I may need that.
And tell your husband he's not allowed to use it.
I know. He won't use it.
Mean. Really mean.
But true.
That's not mean if it's funny.
I get that.
He won't lay on it. It'll be just for me.
When I get to the house, I've been fixing up the bus, added another live well to it, put two biminis on it. So the buses, I got to tell you, that thing really came out nice. That is one heck of a charter boat. I don't think it's a boat I would ever pick for a personal use, right. That big 24 like that. But it's for as far as just
a little cumbersome for just to go out and do one or two people to go run around and fish a little bit.
You could run around the boat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could do laps. You can have but
you could do all kinds of things in that boat that we won't mention.
But the bimini covers the driver in the back, plus the three front chairs. We have three double chairs in the front of it. That's why we call it the bus. But that's one heck of a charter boat. Now.
That is.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really happy with the way it's turned out. We put some new gel coat on it. Got it shined up a little bit. It's not, you know, pretty by today's standards, but it's a really nice charter boat.
I'm going to sneak out of here. Robert's here.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to wrap up this radio fishing. Any other words of advice or wisdom, guys?
No. Just enjoy the weekend and be safe out there. Stay hydrated.
Labor Day weekend.
And not hydrated in the fact of getting hurt.
Yeah, but I think it's a good time just to go out, go fishing. I'd hit the middle of the harbor, catch a bunch of fish. A lot of Spanish mackerel, a lot of ladyfish out in the middle of the harbor right now. A little trolling would be a nice thing to do. Keep the breeze on you. You know, put your bimini up, put the rods out in the front rod holders. I like to see them when they go off. I don't like trolling with the back rod holders anymore. And troll for some mackerel and have a great day. Remember, two people, only keep three mackerel because they're no good in a couple of days. They're lousy frozen. Spanish mackerel, only keep what you're going to eat that night.
Right.
And excellent, excellent meal if you're going to keep and eat that night. But anyway, this is Fish and Frank. We got Robert in the chair across from me. We got Barb sitting in doing the Bumbadita dance. Captain Greg over here. We'll see you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Thanks much. Bye-bye.